Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church on this bit overcast and slightly rainy day. Always delighted to see those of you who are present here, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do have a few announcements. The first is that Tuesday at 10 o'clock we will have Bible study here. We are going through the Purpose-Driven Life. We're reading it as we gather, so you don't have to do any preparation ahead of time. We do have some additional books. If you'd like to join us, you're certainly welcome. The other is that we have another graduate that we need to recognize. So, Rachel, if you'll come forward and accept a quilt on behalf of your son, Dylan. And let's pray for Dylan, who is not physically with us today. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Dylan. We thank you for the work that he's accomplished thus far in his life. Be with him as he continues the next phase of his journey. Let him walk beside you. Let him know that you walk beside him every step of his journey of life. Be with him always. Surround him with your grace and your mercy. We ask all things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So please present this to him in our
I will. Thank you.
And as I think you're aware, tomorrow is Memorial Day. So first, let us remember the individuals who have been part of this church community who have died in service of their country. Eternal God, your love is stronger than death, and your passion more fierce than the grave. We rejoice in the lives of those whom you have drawn into your eternal embrace. Keep us in joyful communion with them until we join the saints of every people and nation gathered before your throne in your ceaseless praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And today, especially, I want you to note a couple of individuals who have been remembered by memorials. Lois was good enough to provide me with this information. She is such a repository of information. And she let me know that our candelabras, one of them was given in memory of Clifford Anderson, who was killed during World War II when his plane caught fire during a training mission, and he bailed out only to be hit by the plane. The other is in memory of Arnold Madsen, who was also killed in World War II when his ship was torpedoed. I think it's something that we need to do to remember these individuals who have served our country and have lost their lives in our defense. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you're able and join in the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, number 413.
Thank you.
almighty Creator, and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal, three in one, and we praise your power, majestic, one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. This reading narrates Isaiah's vision of the Lord surrounded by angels. They sing, "Holy, holy, holy," a song the church sings at the beginning of the Great Thanksgiving. This liturgy text invites the church and all creation to sing in praise of God's glory. That glory is God's mercy towards sinners. A reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of God. The word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 29 responsibly. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness like a dish.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips them the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, "Glory!"
The Lord sits in the throne above all. The Lord sits in the throne, asking for everyone.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessing of peace. The next reading, second reading, is from Romans chapter 8, 12 through 17. In describing the new life of faith, Paul refers to all three persons of the Trinity. The Spirit leads us to recognize that we are children of God, the Father, and their joint heirs with the Son. A reading from Romans. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Word of God, word of life.
Said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I considered teaching this morning about the various creeds that we have. The Apostles' Creed that we use most Sundays, the Nicene Creed that we used last week for Pentecost and that we also use on Easter and at Christmas, and everyone's favorite, the Athanasian Creed, which is used traditionally on Trinity Sunday. Did you pick up your copy of the Athanasian Creed? I noticed people didn't. Everyone loves this creed. Yeah, it's two-sided. You'll get a copy. I'll make sure Denise gives you one. So I thought about teaching on these creeds. The creeds were written to combat various heresies and to set forth in an outline form Orthodox Christian beliefs. They were the result of considerable debate of several gatherings in such places as Trent and Nicaea, many years of struggling to find ways to speak about God faithfully, to determine who Jesus and the Holy Spirit are and their relationship to the Father and to each other. But I decided that even though all that might be interesting, to me at least, it is not necessarily what God would have me talk about this morning. And you're all going, oh. Instead, I want to talk about a related issue, the holiness of God and how we humans struggle to understand and react in the presence of the divine. To do so, I'm going to ask that we look back at our readings for today, starting from the gospel message and going backward to the first lesson. None of our readings for this Sunday speak directly about the Trinity, a doctrine that emerged in the early church from reflection on biblical witness and Christian experience. However, all of them speak to Christian understanding on the Trinity, and each reveals something about human reaction to the divine one in three and three in one. Our gospel lesson tells of an encounter between Jesus and a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus at night and says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus responds, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus is taken aback at this response, questioning how people can re-enter their mother's womb when they've grown old. Theologian Charles Ellicott wrote that after the method of rabbinic dialogue, Nicodemus presses the impossible meaning of the words in order to exclude it and to draw forth the true meaning. "You cannot mean that a man is to enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. So what is it then that you do mean?" Jesus responds that he's not talking about a second physical birth. He's talking about a birth of water and spirit. "How can these things be?" Nicodemus asks. Jesus chastises him for being learned in Scripture and yet being unable to understand what is being said, wondering how a teacher of Israel does not understand the concept of spiritual rebirth. Nicodemus is probably even further confused when Jesus tells him, "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man." And then to hear Jesus talking about the wind and talking about the serpent who was raised up in the wilderness, I think at that point words just escape Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who thought he understood so much about the Father, comes at night to the Son, who talks to him of the Spirit. What words could he have possibly had to respond to this teaching? "How can this be?" That's his response. In our reading from Romans 8, Paul talks about the Father, about Jesus, and about the Spirit, asserting that it is the Holy Spirit who leads us to recognize that we are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Paul wrote that all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, that they have received a spirit of adoption, being adopted as children of God. Our response as believers is to cry out, "Abba, Father." That cry comes out of confidence that we may turn to God as a child turns to a loving parent. But it also reveals the inadequacy of human speech when confronted with the divine, that we can be reduced to the babbling of toddlers. Our psalm praises God's very voice thundering over mighty waters, breaking the cedars, flashing forth flames of fire, shaking the wilderness, causing the oaks to writhe, and the response of those in the temple to God's voice is to cry out, "Glory." Our first reading describes Isaiah's vision of God sitting on a throne surrounded by angels who call out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah's response is to acknowledge his sinfulness. "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I am unworthy." This is his response to the divine, the same response Simon Peter had after a miraculous catch of fish when he told our Lord, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man. I am not worthy." And yet Isaiah also hears, "Who shall I send?" and responds, "Send me." Had he realized what the life of a prophet would be like, he might not have responded that way. Holy, holy, holy. What do we mean when we say something is holy? To be holy is to be set apart. When we say that an object is holy, we mean that it is set apart for a particular function. When we say that God is holy, we are asserting that God, the creator of all things, is set apart from the creation. God presides in sovereignty over creation. We hear these words echoed again in the book of Revelation in chapter 4 by the four living creatures, emphasizing God's majesty and glory, as well as God's work in the past, present, and future as the one who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the angelic cry. We proclaim that there is only one God, one true and living God, that we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, one God in three persons, equal in glory, co-eternal in majesty, infinite, eternal, almighty. The relationship among the three persons of the Trinity is sometimes called perichoresis, which comes from Greek words meaning to go around, and refers to the interconnectedness of the Trinity, which in more modern times is often referred to by some as the dance of Trinity. Perichoresis is the fellowship of these three co-equal persons, perfectly embraced in love and harmony, and expressing an intimacy that no human can comprehend. When I was a child and asked questions that one of my teachers could not answer, she would sigh, and she did that a lot. She would sigh and say, "That's a mystery. You'll understand when you get to heaven." And the best way to explain the Trinity is to say, it is a mystery beyond our human understanding. Perhaps when we stand before God face to face, we will have a better understanding. Somehow, I don't think at that time I will be asking God any questions. I tend to think that any questions I have now won't matter anymore. But how will I respond when I'm in God's presence? How will you respond in the presence of the Holy One? I think of the song by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. You've heard that song? The songwriter ponders what his reaction will be when he comes face to face with God. He says, "Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Yet will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine that all I can do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine." And Denise, I'm going to ask you pass out a copy of this to everyone who doesn't have it. And then I know usually we stand during the creed, but this creed is really long. I think I probably have almost all the copies. As I mentioned, we have three primary creeds. The Apostles' Creed that we should all know well, the Nicene Creed that we should all know well, and the Athanasian Creed that we prefer to forget. Because it's long, it's tedious, and it seems to go in excruciating detail about who God is, and especially about who Jesus is. And we look at these creeds and we don't really realize how many years went by with the church debating the nature of Jesus and the nature of the Spirit and who they were in relationship to the Father. Knowing that we have only one God, what does that make Jesus? What does that make the Spirit? And our creeds come out of long years of debate. The Athanasian Creed is one of them. So I ask that we pray it together, but you can remain seated because it's so long. I may stop periodically as we pray. You'll notice this also has a couple of anathemas, which sound very strange to our modern ears, telling you you have to believe this or else. But when they wrote it, they meant it. And the Nicene Creed is originally written also had that anathema. This is serious business to the people who wrote it, and it should be serious to us as well. Whoever wants to be saved should above all cling to the Catholic faith, which means the universal faith. Whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish eternally. Now, this is a Catholic faith. We worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Spirit is still another. But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-eternal in majesty. What the Father is, the Son is, and so is the Holy Spirit. Uncreated is the Father. Uncreated is the Son. Uncreated is the Spirit. The Father is infinite. The Son is infinite. The Holy Spirit is infinite. Eternal is the Father. Eternal is the Son. Eternal is the Spirit. And yet there are not three eternal beings, but one who is eternal, as there are not three uncreated and unlimited beings, but one who is uncreated and unlimited. Almighty is the Father. Almighty is the Son. Almighty is the Spirit. And yet there are not three almighty beings, but one who is almighty. Thus the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. Thus the Father is Lord. The Son is Lord. The Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. As Christian truth compels us to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so Catholic religion forbids us to say that there are three gods or lords. One way to describe what is going on is this image that's sometimes called the Shield of Trinity. I don't know if you see it. Woo! That's why I have another one. It looks like this. It has the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and in the middle it says God. So it shows the Father is not the Son, the Father is not the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not the Son, but yet the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Father was neither made nor created nor begotten. The Son was neither made nor created, but was alone begotten of the Father. The Spirit was neither made nor created, but is proceeding from the Father and the Son. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three spirits. And in this Trinity, no one is before or after, greater or less than the other, but all three persons are in themselves co-eternal and co-equal, and so we must worship the Trinity in unity and the one God in three persons. Whoever wants to be saved should think thus about the Trinity. And in the second part of this, the discussion focuses on the Son. It is necessary for eternal salvation that one also faithfully believes that our Lord Jesus became flesh. For this is a true faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God, begotten before all worlds from the being of the Father, and he is man, born in the world from the being of his mother. Existing fully as God and fully as man, with a rational soul and a human body, equal to the Father in divinity, subordinate to the Father in humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not divided, but is one Christ. He is united because God has taken humanity into himself. He does not transform deity into humanity. Consider that for a while. He is completely one in the unity of his person without confusing his natures. For as a rational soul and body are one person, so the one Christ is God and man. He suffered death for our salvation. He descended into hell and rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people shall rise bodily to give an account of their own deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life. Those who have done evil will enter eternal fire. This is a Catholic faith. One cannot be saved without believing this firmly and faithfully. And that is the affirmation. So at this time, I ask you to stand as you are able and join in our hymn of the day. Come join the dance of Trinity. 412. Triune God, to to pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world.
Abba God, you have brought us into your family, claiming us as beloved children. Bless your family of faith with gifts of cooperation and graciousness. Increase our hospitality towards all expressions of faith, and teach us to honor your shared humanity. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Your love and power burst forth in the flashes of lightning, the dance of the wind, and the deeply rooted trees of the forest. Sustain fragile and interconnected ecosystems, that they flourish for generations to come. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Give your blessings of peace to the nations. Shelter all who risk life and livelihood to protect others from violence, conflict, and injustice. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have lost their lives in war and conflict. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. You are a God of love and not of condemnation. Quiet the hearts of all who struggle with shame, regret, our questions of self-worth. Teach us to forgive ourselves and one another. Restore wholeness to all who seek hope and healing. We pray especially for those on our prayer chain. We pray for those in this world who suffer the effects of war, and for others that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Strengthen bonds between parents, children, and families. We pray especially for adoptive and foster families, multi-generational families, and blended families. Grant gifts of nurture and patience to all caregivers. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
The Spirit bears grateful witness to all children of God who have now come into their inheritance among the saints. As they live with hope in your gift of eternal life, so strengthen us in faith that we recognize your eternal presence even in this mortal life. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
justice.
As your great gifts you find my drivers, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those you need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The word be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We will lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy. For we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, who reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be abhorred in your eternal glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. Power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy.